Devaya. Nama Vishvaraya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhade Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavani Pashtatade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1, Verse 16. Tami hatmanam nirahaṁ kṛtam buddham. Nirāsisam purnam ananya choditam. Nirmsiksha yantam nija vartma samstitam. From Prabham Prapadye Kila Dharma Bhavanam. Come unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Iyamanam, acting for our benefit, Nirahang Kritam, without entanglement, Buddham, who is completely in knowledge, Nirasisam, without desires to enjoy, Purnam, who is full, Ananyam, by others, Shoditam, induce and run all of human society, siksha yantam, to teach nija vartma, his own personal way of life, samstitam, to establish prabhum, unto the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada, I request everyone to surrender Akila Dharma Bhavanam, who is the master of all religious principles. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna works just like an ordinary human being, yet he does not desire to enjoy the fruits of work. He is full in knowledge, free from material desires and aversions, and completely independent. As the supreme teacher of human society teaches his own way of activities and thus inaugurates the real path of religion, I request everyone to follow him. For our part, this is the sum and substance of our Krishna consciousness movement. We are simply requesting human society to follow in the footsteps of the teacher of Bhagavad Gita, following the instructions of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and your life will be successful. And that is a summary of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. The organizers of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is teaching everyone how to follow Lord Ramchandra, how to follow Lord Krishna, how to follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this material world, we need a leader for a monarchy or good government. Lord Sri Ramchandra, by his practical example, showed how to live for the benefit of all human society. He fought with demons like Ravana, he carried out the orders of his father, and he remained the faithful husband of Mother Sita. Thus, there is no comparison to Lord Ramchandra's acting as an ideal king. Indeed, people still hanker for Ramaraja, a government conducted like that of Lord Ramchandra. Similarly, although Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he taught his disciple and devotee Arjuna how to lead a life ending in going back home back to Godhead. All teachings, political, economic, social, religious, cultural, and philosophical, are to be found in Bhagavad Gita. One only has to follow them strictly. The Supreme Personality of God also comes as Lord Chaitanya just to play the part of a pure devotee. Thus, the Lord teaches us in different ways just to make our lives successful, and Swayambhuva Manu requests us to follow him. Swayambhuva Manu is the leader of mankind, and he has given a book called Manu Samhita to guide human society. Herein, he directs us to follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different incarnations. These incarnations described in Vedic literature and Jayadeva Goswami has described 10 important incarnations in summary. Keshavadrita, Amina, Sarira, Jai Jagadisha Hare, Keshavadrita, Narahari Rupa, Jai Jagadisha Hare, Keshavadrita, Buddha Sarira, Jai Jagadisha Hare. Swayambhuva Manu instructs us to follow the instructions of God's incarnations, especially Krishna's incarnation, instructions in Bhagavad Gita as it is. Appreciating Bhakti Marga as instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhama Vacharya, thus the picture the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Sikshartam Eka Purusha Purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Dhari Kripambudir Yastam Aham Prapadye. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service, and detach him from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. In this age of Kali, people cannot follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore the Lord himself takes the part of Sri Krishna Chaitanya to teach personally how to become Krishna conscious. He asks everyone to follow him and to become a guru to deliver the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. Jare deko tare kaha Krishna upadesh amar agyaya guru hoya tare desh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. The coherent purpose of Lord Ramchandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to teach human society how to be happy and following the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna works just like an ordinary human being, yet he does not desire to enjoy the fruits of work. He is full in knowledge, free from material desires and aversions, and completely independent. As the supreme teacher of human society, he teaches his own way of activities, and thus he inaugurates the real path of religion. I request everyone to follow him. But this is, we can say, a summary or a conclusion of the Swayambhuva Manu's praise of the Supreme Lord Yajna. And he concludes after his praises by saying, I surrender unto you. And then he describes him in different ways, like Prabhu, or Akila Dharma Ambhavanam, or Nrin Shikshayantam, etc. So as the previous verses were concerning activity, or iha, so that we have again here in this verse, ihamanam, one who is acting, are doing activities. So the Supreme Lord is not inactive, not inert. He performs actions, and he performs actions all the time, continually, even in this material world. So So it is said, for instance, that, of course, Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, approximately, in Vrindavan. Then he disappeared after 125 years. So then we think, yes, he appeared, he did activity, he disappeared, so no more activity. Huh? Or we can say, well, he's doing activity in spiritual, but not in the material world. But then, again, there's another explanation. No, he's continually doing activities in the material world. So, in some other universes, he is also doing his activities, even now. So, he may not be doing his activities here, but he's doing it in not one, but many universes right now. And 5 seconds later, he's also doing activities in another universe, in another universe, in another universe, in another universe. So even the appearance of Krishna in the prison house of Kamsa is occurring somewhere now. And it's occurring now also, 5 seconds later. And it's occurring 5 seconds later also in another universe. And so there's countless universes. Huh? And every second, the birth of Krishna is going on in some universe, and then consequently all the other activities are going on. So everything about the activities of the Lord are eternal. So sometimes it is asked, well, if Krishna is born, then there's an end to his birth, and then he grows, so there's an end to that growth, and then he enters into from Balya or Kumar age into Paganda age, from there into Kishore age. So he's got a beginning and ending of each age. In fact, beginning every activity. He lifts Govardhan Hill. After 7 days, he puts it down. So there's an end of that activity. So how can it be eternal? So the idea is that no, it is always going on. Successively in different universes, continually going on. So Govardhan Leela is going on, birth is going on, Damodar Leela is going on, Ras Leela is going on, everything is going on. And that's because the Lord has infinite number of forms and they're all one. So his activities are continuous. So Ihamanam, yes, he is doing activities. They are not temporary with a beginning and end. They are eternal activities. Nirahankritam, of course, means without ahankara. There are two types of ahankara. The material one, in, which is actually a material element, so to speak. After mahatattva arises ahankara in sattva, rajas, and tamas, and that later divides up into mind, senses, and sense objects, and material elements. Tamagun. So, of course, ahankara itself in the material world is manifested through tamagun. Mahatattva is manifested through sattvagun. So, in the material world, this ahankara is the cause of ignorance. What is the ignorance? We identify with the body. We don't recognize the soul or the Supreme Lord. So, ahankara is detrimental in the material world for the jiva. It causes his illusion. So in that sense, the Lord is without illusion, without ahankara, without tamas or ignorance, and consequently without material body and karma, etc. But as I said, there's another ahankara. That is, because aham simply means I. So identity of I. So the ahankara in the material world is identifying ourselves with a material body. That is the bad ahankara. But it's also explained that even the jiva has a sense of I as its very nature. In other words, consciousness has a center and an identity. So the jiva can realize his existence. I exist. Other things exist. So other things exist is based on his consciousness of it. Because he exists and he's aware of himself, then he can say, I exist and I am seeing these other objects. I am aware of them. So I can say they exist. So he can perceive things. It's based upon a sense of I. So that is intrinsic in the jiva. That's not due to ignorance. The ahankara which says, I am the body, that is the ignorance in the material world. So that ahankara is also a pure ahankara in the jiva himself. There's also ahankara in the Supreme Lord. He also has a sense of I. He identifies himself as Supreme Lord. He identifies himself as Krishna. He identifies himself as Rama. He identifies himself as Narasimha Dev, etc. So he has a sense of I also. So that ahankara in the spiritual world, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah? But in the material world, yes, devoid of this ahankara. The Gyanis, because they say, oh, this ahankara is wrong, they think, well, let's get rid of the sense of I. So when they get liberation, then they're not conscious of this I because they don't want to perceive anything. And there is nothing to perceive. It's consciousness, but it's not I am conscious or I'm conscious of anything. It's just consciousness with no sense of I in it. So this is, we could say, a suppression of the nature of the jiva in the liberated state. Therefore the ahankara is natural to the jiva also, but it's different from the material ahankara. Therefore, the Lord is described here as Buddha, one who is intelligent. Because he is not affected by ignorance in any way. He has complete knowledge of everything. Nirasisam, without desires to enjoy in the material world. This does not mean he has no desires. Just like the devotee is not without desire. He has desire also. But the desires related to enjoying with our material body, those are the desires that create karma and illusion and bondage. If we desire to serve the Lord, that is part of bhakti. That's a good desire. So desire is a natural result of consciousness. I exist, I know other things exist, and then there is interaction between the object and the self, and some desire arises. I like it, I don't like it, I reject it, I want it, it is nice, etc. So it's natural for a conscious being who is aware of objects to have desires of some sort or other. Otherwise, what's the use of being conscious at all? So, when we're conscious of things, then desires arise. Of course, because of this idea of consciousness of things, we have desires, the Gyani will say, let's not be conscious of anything. Then we don't have any desires, because desires lead to karma. So this desire, of course, is the desire with material ahankara. Then it becomes problematic. If there's desire with no material ahankara in the spiritual world, no problem. However, that desire is never directed towards oneself. Immediately it becomes directed towards oneself. I want this for myself and my enjoyment. Then we end up in a material position. So that desire always has to be directed towards the Supreme Lord. Then it becomes spiritual desire. And that is the very essence of bhakti. Bhakti means desire to serve the Lord. And because we do that, then all of our activities become spiritualized and all the objects become spiritualized. So as far as material objects for ourselves, yes, nirasista, no desire for the self. That applies to the jiva, it also applies to Krishna. The Lord is purna, complete in all respects. Therefore, he does not depend on anything. He is full in his desires, and therefore he is nirasisa. Consequently, ananya choditam, he is not directed by anybody. He's completely full. He doesn't have to take instructions from anybody to fulfill anything. He is completely independent. Though he is perfect and completely independent, fulfilling all of his own desires, he does activities. Why does he do activities? Okay, for the benefit of the jivas. Why does he want to benefit the jivas if he is full in himself? Because though he is full in himself, He also has a nature of mercy, compassion. If the Supreme Lord does not have that quality, instead he is cruel and indifferent, it would be a criticism. How can the Lord be so indifferent and cruel? So therefore, there must be compassion in the Supreme Lord for the jivas. It's a good quality. So it is not because he has desires for himself. No, he has desires to benefit the jivas. A good quality. But therefore it says he instructs them. He gives instructions to the jivas in the material world. So he's acting for the benefit of the jivas. Nijavartma samsitam. Situated in his own path. What is the path of the Supreme Lord? Of course, we can take this in several ways, and relate it to Dharma and things like that. He teaches bhakti or whatever like that. Simply that he is situated in his self and not dependent on anything else. He carries out his activities without dependence on anything, without in any way being controlled by another person. So he's situated in himself, not dependent. And Akita Dharma Bhavanam. He's the master of all dharma, all proper conduct. So dharma, of course, has a wide usage. It can mean varnashram dharma. But beyond that, it can also mean bhakti, because bhakti is paro dharma. It's the highest dharma. So all activities regulated by scripture are included in this word, whether it is the dharma, varnashram dharma, or jnana yoga, stanga yoga, or bhakti yoga, all of them. So all of the approved paths of action for the jivas are propagated and encouraged by the Supreme Lord. This is the nature of the Lord, an expression of his compassion for the jivas. So here we have a little bit of a contradiction, because the Lord is independent, self-satisfied, etc., yet he's acting for the jivas out of his great mercy. So, is he dependent on the jivas then, because he's acting for them? Not necessarily. In the material world, of course, mercy often is dependent. We're merciful to some, we're not merciful to others. Why we're merciful to some? Because we like them, because we have attachment to those persons. So there's some material element there in mercy in the material world. Therefore, some people strive for complete mercy. They want to be compassionate to everybody. They strive for that. It's very difficult to do in the material world. How do we show compassion to the most evil, wicked people? Difficult. So there's a problem doing that for a jiva in the material world. How to show that compassion? For the Supreme Lord, it is not difficult, because one, he does not depend on anyone else, because he's fully satisfied in himself, so he's not doing something out of mercy because he wants something from anybody else. Also, because he is infinite in his forms and his intelligence and his knowledge, etc., he can arrange things in such a way that ultimately even the most wicked person gets the highest benefit. Because he is Bhagavan. So we see Krishna kills demons, but he gives them benefit. He's not acting out of hatred for a demon at all. He gives them benefit. He kills them, definitely. What happens? Liberation. They get great benefit simply from association with the Lord, even though they are the enemy of the Lord. They are the most cruel, wicked persons. Still, the Lord gives benefit to them. It's very difficult for us to do that in the material world. How do we give benefit to Stalin or Hitler or someone like that? Kill them, nothing happens. They just get killed. But for Krishna, yeah, he kills the benefit. So the Lord can do that, we cannot do that. So therefore, the compassion that the Lord has is perfect. He is compassionate to everybody in the material. But of course, it is different for different types of people. But they all get great benefit from it ultimately by his arrangement. So therefore, the compassion of the Supreme Lord is not like our compassion. It is perfect. And everybody benefits, even the most fallen person. So the Lord is not prejudiced in that way. That compassion, however, takes another form with the devotees. And so Krishna says, I'm equal to everyone, but I'm special for my devotee. So therefore, Krishna is not equal. He is not sama to everybody. He is not just. He is unjust because he gives something else to devotees. That, again, is not a fault, because there's the principle of according to your surrender, I respond to you. So if you have a little bhakti, the Lord responds to a little bhakti. If you have greater bhakti, the Lord responds to more bhakti. And if you have no bhakti, the Lord is equal to everybody. So this is another principle of the Supreme Lord. That's also part of his compassion. So because a person doing bhakti shows affection for the Lord, the Lord shows affection for him. So therefore that compassion becomes different because there is affection involved there to a higher degree. Of course, we can say the Lord is affection to all living entities, the sinful and whatever, doesn't matter. Yeah, he has some sort of general affection, but for the devotee, special affection. So that is what makes the devotee different. Therefore, the Lord responds differently. So it is this property of the Supreme Lord to respond to affection that creates the process for the jiva to get out of the material world, solve all of his problems, and get the highest benefit. That is, it becomes bhakti, because the Lord has this quality of being very affectionate towards a person who shows affection to him. Because of that quality, we have the process of bhakti. And this is the process by which the jiva gets deliverance from everything in the material world. So therefore, this is an outstanding quality of the Supreme Lord. One of the major qualities of the Supreme Lord. So it is not a bad quality, it is a very outstanding quality of the Lord that he responds to any attempt that the jiva has at rendering devotional service. Consequently, Swami Bhava Manu is saying, I surrender to this Supreme Lord, which means, surrender means that we're willing to offer everything to the Supreme Lord. We want to serve the Lord with our body, with our mind, with our words. We give everything to the Supreme Lord. That is surrender. So this is what Manu is saying. I surrender to that Supreme Lord. So he recognizes that process of bhakti. Why do we give everything to the Supreme Lord? Why do we serve the Supreme Lord? Out of affection. Not because we want something from him. And of course, because the Lord has anything, everything, what does he need with whatever we offer anyway? If we offer him a flower or a tomato or an eggplant, what's that for the Supreme Lord? Nothing. What does he care for all those things? But he cares for the affection. He responds to that affection. Anyway, we offer our bodies, even though they're material. We offer our mind, even though it's contaminated. We offer everything to the Supreme Lord. Even we offer the jiva, the atma. Even atma is insignificant, like a little spark of light. What does the Lord need with that little spark of light? He has all light within him. He's perfect. But nevertheless, because it's offered with affection, out of service, then the Lord is very pleased. So this is the process of getting benefit for the jiva, simply to surrender and offer service to the Supreme Lord. Knowing the wonderful qualities of that Lord. The Lord is not without qualities. The Lord is not without activities. The Lord is full of qualities and full of activities. And because of that, he can respond when the devotee like Swayambhuva surrenders. Then, yes, the Lord responds and he helps the jiva. He doesn't desire as we desire in the material world. As I said, yes, definitely the Lord has desires. He desires to please his devotees. He desires to have Rasalila, yes. It says in the Bhagavatam on the night of the Ras Purnima, then the Lord desired to arrange all these things for his Rasalila. Huh? So he's not without desire. Yes, he has desire, but that's not the same as our desires in the material world. Our desires in the material world are for ourself, enjoying through our body. So desire itself is not wrong for the jiva also. It is part of his nature to have a desire, but it must be directed toward the Lord. Then it becomes a positive desire. If it's directed towards herself, then it ultimately ended with a material body, we try to enjoy it. Directed toward the Lord for his enjoyment, then that becomes bhakti. So the Lord also has desire. He has desire to enjoy with his devotees, to give them bliss in pastimes. That's his desire. Yeah. Of course, what desh, maybe we speak of the whole Bhumandala as a desh also. Or Bart Varsha is the whole world. Huh? Yeah. It could be a whole world also. Well, desha means place, literally. So what place? We can expand that place. In other words, the one country can, one country is the whole world also, yeah? Under Bharat, the whole world was under Bharat. That was one desh in one sense. Bharat Varsha. Of course, Lord Chaitanya also says what? Nagaradi Gram, Pribhute, the whole world, in the world. Nagaradi Gram, whatever village is there in the whole world, whatever town is there in the whole world. So that sense is everywhere. So don't take this as a limitation, only in India we can preach. Well, if it is material, then it is also obviously inferior. So we show in Sattva-gun, we show compassion through different punyas we do. That, of course, is recommended in the scriptures, different punyas. But the result is all material. So if we think it is spiritual, that is a mistake. The other compassion, of course, like Prahlad's compassion, is let us try to help all the jivas by delivering them from ignorance. So that is a higher level of compassion, jivas to jivas. So the way we do that is through bhakti, prachar, preaching to them. So that compassion is higher. So if we think that we're going to solve all the problems in the world by lower compassion, then that should be criticized as being faulty. If it is directly with devotional service, fine, then no problem. Oh yeah, of course, the actual Shakti of the Lord manifests prominently in the bhava stage. And of course it becomes more intense in the prema stage. that does not mean that bhakti is non-spiritual in the lower stages. Yes, bhakti is bhakti all the way through. The problem, of course, is our impurities. It's obstructed, just like we have the clouds in the sky, so therefore the light doesn't come through properly. The sun is pure, but and full of strength, but then if we have the clouds in the way, this particular place now doesn't get the sunlight so much. So because we have anartas, we do not get the full effect of the process of bhakti. So it's like filtered through. So therefore we do not get the full effect of Fladini and Samvit at this stage. But we get some experience through that. So we can say this is called Bhakti Sukha. This is part of the Subhada. One type of Subhada means happiness. Happiness has three types. Material happiness called Bhakti. Happiness of liberation called Mukti. Happiness of Bhakti. So this is experienced in the stage of sadhana bhakti, before the bhava bhakti. Subhada occurs in the sadhana stage. So we get the happiness from bhakti that we don't technically call hladini or bliss at that stage, because covered over so much because of the anartas. It is for the pleasure of the Lord. He is pleased by passing on the bhakti.